we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. Yes, spreading conservatism everywhere we go. Right Side Radio. All right, I got a caller on the line, Boomer. Yeah, hey, that's Steve from Tennessee. Steve, how you doing today, man?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing good. I just wanted to comment on what Allie said, and you touched on it too, about Jesus and peace through strength. I had a master chief when I was in the Navy that I had a lot of respect for. He was a good Christian man, and one of the biggest influences on me as a young officer. I looked up to those senior enlisted guys big time, and I remember two things he said to me that stuck with me forever. One was, he said, "Lieutenant, as long as you're drawing breath, there's always time to panic." And I thought, you know, that's a good way to look at it. And the other thing he said was, you can't turn the other cheek if you don't have one. In other words, you've got to be strong. You know, think about it, what Jesus could have done. But that's what makes his story so cool, is that he was strong enough internally that he didn't do it, but he had the option of just smoking all those bad boys that were messing with him and that hung him on the cross.
Yeah.
So that peace through strength thing is rooted in Christianity. And, you know, I totally subscribe to that. So anyway, I just wanted to toss that in there.
Man, that's good stuff, man. I'll take it and take it at face value. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you.
All right.
All right, man. Yeah, he's so right. And by the way, he's also right about the senior enlisted guys. You got to listen. You got to listen to those guys. But he is so right. And I've said before, too, I agree with that point. I mean, my more likely, you know, determination to be impetuous is going to wind up being that if I had been Jesus hanging on the cross, which I'm not, but if I had been Jesus hanging on the cross, I'd have probably just jumped down off that cross and whooped some people. There would have been teeth and hair flying everywhere, but he had a greater plan. He saw more he saw past his own discomfort, if you will, his own tragedy, because he knew what he was doing. All right. Hey, listen, just got a new texter on the line, Grady from Huntsville. Glad you're in the queue there, man. We got you down. First piece of the Triple Dipper, the case for choice. I mean, if you've been around this show for 5 minutes, you know that I'm a big school choice advocate. I was proud to be in the state Senate the night we passed what is known as the Alabama Accountability Act in 2013. It was the first time that we had ever seen true school choice come to Alabama, but it was in a very limited fashion. It was what we could get at the time. It was the start. It was the thing that broke the ice, if you will. And we got it in there so that in such a way that basically if your child is in a failing school, which is defined as being the bottom 6%, I believe, of Alabama schools, if your child is in a failing school, then you are allowed to transfer them. And there are scholarships that can be made available through what are known as scholarship granting organizations. And these SGOs, they're nonprofits, and they can give a tax credit under state law if someone were to give money to them to be used for scholarship. In other words, if I were to give $1 million, Lord, wish I had $1 million to give, but if I had $1 million to give and I wanted to give $1 million to a scholarship-granting organization to help kids move out of bad schools, I would get a true dollar-for-dollar, million-dollar tax credit to be applied to my taxes, and I believe it has reach-back and look-forward capability. Anyway, all that to say, we passed it in 2013, and it was a big night. It was awesome. We had State Senator Del Marsh here in the studio just, what, a couple weeks ago, Boomer, I think? Yeah. And he was the architect of that bill in the Senate. I was proud to stand right behind him as he was at the podium yelling at the other side because they were freaking out because we were daring to go to school choice. Well, that was a night that was very uncomfortable for what I would call some tepid Republicans, but we all did it. We did it. We knew it was the right thing to do. And since then, how much school choice have you really seen implemented in Alabama? That'd be like very little next to none. We've got charter schools, and we've got the Accountability Act, which is only for those in a failing school, the bottom 6%, if they can afford to move with a scholarship or not. Arizona, I got a story here dated this weekend. I pulled this one off of CBS5, an affiliate out in Phoenix. Headline, opponents of the Arizona school choice voucher expansion failed to gather enough signatures. So here's the thing. In In Arizona, they just passed this year the most epic, complete, full-on school choice legislation anywhere in the nation. I mean, we got some states that are doing it, but Arizona is like, we're doing it all, man. And they just went for it. And they did. And it's basically any child, it's open enrollment. Any child can move to any school. And if the parent or legal guardian believes that it's better for them, they can have the tax dollars that would have paid for them to be in one public school and use them in another, or even a private school, or even a homeschool. Whatever the parent or legal guardian deems is best for them, for their child, they can do it. It's all in, man. And the interesting thing is, one study I read just a week or two ago, I think it was the day that Del Marsh was here, I pointed out that what we're seeing, though, is that some public schools are trending up now because they realize that when the free market gets engaged, when they have competition, when they can't just hide behind the zip code that assigns kids to their school no matter what, they have to actually do something to attract people and make them want to stay. Lord, it's a whole new day. And so numbers are actually trending up. Nonetheless, you know, the teachers' union formed a group called Save Our Schools, and the teachers' union went out and tried to get a series of signatures, basically getting folks to sign a petition to allow this to be put on a ballot initiative so they could try to then campaign against it and have it voted down. Nope, they failed. They couldn't get the right number of signatures. So it says an attempt by public school advocates and the nonprofit Save Our Schools Arizona to block an expansion of the private school voucher system has failed. The law passed by the Republican-led legislature and signed into law by Governor Doug Ducey in July allows every parent in Arizona to use public funds from the K-12 system to pay for private school tuition or other education. It was scheduled to go into effect last Saturday, but was placed on hold after opposers attempted to block it by trying to gather referendum signatures, and they failed. So that means Arizona is blazing forward. Backers of the school choice program, it says at the tail end of the article, says it allows parents to choose the best school for their children. Ducey says, the governor, says it's a major school choice backer and touted the expansion at a ceremonial bill signing in August. He says, our family, like so many Arizona families, we reevaluate every single year what is best for our kids. This is the mom talking. And right now, she says, our current model of home educating in ESA is working out really well. Well, I got an audio clip. Boomer, I tell you what, let's do, let's do clip two first. Can you make that work? Give me a thumbs up. You good? Yeah, all right. So here's the deal. Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears. Democrats don't know what to do with her. Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears is the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Virginia. She was elected the same time that Governor Youngkin was elected. And they rode the wave of parental discontent with education and with all the social justice crap being thrown into their schools in Virginia. And they took it all the way to public office, but they have not stopped. It wasn't like they used that as a campaign ploy. They have literally been on the warpath trying to bring more and more parental choice into schools. Well, they don't know what to do with her. The Democrats don't, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, because she's a black female former Marine Republican. It just defeats every one of their narratives. She can't be for real. This is not right. This can't be happening. She's a black female, and she was in the Marines. Oh, and by the way, she's also a naturalized citizen. Her family immigrated from Jamaica. I'm loving it. Anyway, she had some great things to say in an interview with Trey Gowdy. So I tell you what, let's do, Boomer, we'll start with clip two. Go ahead and play it.
You know what? We, as Republicans and Libertarians and Independents, wanted to reopen the schools. During COVID, yes, we wanted to, because the private schools were open. And you know what the union said? That we were being white supremacist for wanting the schools to be opened again. And now we are being told by the Biden administration that no, it was the Republicans who wanted schools closed. You know, we're playing these stupid games and our children are not advancing. It's a national security crisis. We've got to cut the political nonsense and get our children learning again.
There you go. I mean, she's not even playing. She's saying they are literally using this as a political ploy. Yet they, the Democrats, in conjunction with the teachers union, they don't care about what is best for the child. They just want to keep the status quo. They want the money coming where they want it to come. They do not care whether or not the education you know, capabilities of the school system go up, or whether the environment is good, or whether, for that matter, the parents are even content. They don't care. And I agree with her. It's a national security issue. Well, there are a lot of reasons why a parent may want a child to move from one school to another. It's not always about education. Now, granted, in Alabama, it can be just about the education numbers. We, as a state, rank last in the nation. Last. Did I mention we're last? We're last. Like, dead last. Like, there ain't nobody below us. Last. Like, we're coming in behind everybody else. Last. Boomer, did I mention that we're last?
I didn't know that. We're last?
We're last, man, in education. I hate to break it to you. But by the way, we're last.
Last.
Yeah, and I'm almost sounding euphemistic, but I'm not. I mean, I'm saying it over and over again because it's got to sink in. We are last.
We need some of that competition.
How about that?
Yes.
Maybe a little free market in education.
Absolutely.
Come on. Said the parent of small children.
Yes.
But you look at things too, like, okay, what are the school systems doing? Like, for instance, here's a story by WHNT, Channel 19 out of Huntsville, August 17th, not too long ago. A look at how Alabama schools are spending COVID relief funds. Did you know? They can't claim money is the issue. They can't. Don't let them ever tell you at another school board meeting, well, if we were properly funded, we'd be able to do bullcrap. There are like more than 8 or 9 states, I think it's 8 or 9 states actually, that fund education at a lesser amount per child than Alabama does, and they rank higher than us in the rankings. But this year alone, just because of COVID federal funding, special funding, $3.14 billion extra dollars have come into the education system in Alabama. $3.14 billion with a B. That's an enormous amount of money, says Mark Dixon of a group called A-Plus Education Partnership. He said that's about 12 times the amount of Title I federal funding a school would normally get in a year. Every district, he said, had to submit a plan. And he said, I think some are talking about their plans more publicly than others. But because of that, his organization has created the tracker. And so this is one of the things that I encourage y'all to do. And by the way, this is not about whether you have kids or grandkids, for that matter. It's about whether you believe in what's best for your community. So I'm just telling you, everybody get engaged on this. There's a website out there now. A-Plus Education Partnership has it up. You can look them up. A-Plus Education Partnership. And they are tracking how each district is spending their money, because one of the strings attached to this money is that schools have to take community input. So you go to the tracker and see what your school systems are doing with all the extra money. Like Jefferson County, for instance, they received an extra $101 million. $101 million. And they say they've used it to go towards what they call reversing learning loss. That's very broad. Mental health support. And new laptops. Well, so far, according to the tracker that they've got on A-Plus Education Partnership, only 6% of American Rescue Plan, that's the COVID relief dollars, has been allocated in Alabama. They have until September of 24 to spend those funds, but they have to, by law, take your input. Senator Tuberville believes they ought to use part of that to help with scholarships. There's an idea, but they say, no, like Walter Gonsolin, the Jefferson County School Superintendent, says, no, we don't see there being any money left for anything like that. God forbid. But yeah, check that out, because that's one of the things. If you do not see your education system using money in an appropriate fashion, call them out on it. But then again, you may also want to know that you have a chance to move your child if they're taking money and using it on, you know, what you might consider chasing rabbits instead of improving what is best for your child. All right, I got more of this. And then coming up top of the hour, we're going to be on the line with Scott Buttram, editor of the Trustful Tribune, talking about some things happening in Trustful City schools that may also want some parents to have the opportunity to move. All right, Boomers, take us to a break. It is time. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Boomer's cracking me up. I'm sitting here laughing, turning the microphone on and realizing I've got to say words. I kind of quit laughing to say words. Hey, by the way, before I take this call I got on the line, let me tell you, I just looked up that tracker I was talking about. So A-Plus Education Partnership, sure enough, they've got it. I'm looking at it right now. They've got a tracker that shows how much money your respective district got, how much of it they've allocated thus far, and what they've, generally speaking, allocated it to. So I just grabbed one just in the listening area. I thought, pick one, Madison City. So according to the A-Plus Education Partnership tracker, Madison City got an extra $10,506,390 in relief funds. They have now allocated upwards of 45% of that total. 40% of their allocations thus far have gone to summer and after-school programs, 55% have gone to technology, and 4% have gone to facility improvements. They did not spend anything on admin, nothing on professional development, nothing on parent and family engagement, nothing on mental health or academic support. I'm questioning what academic support means when you've got all these other things. Academic support, if you highlight it, if you run the cursor over it, the mouse, I mean. Academic support means the amount spent on academics by the district, including teachers, tutoring programs, curricula, and instructional materials. Okay, interesting. All right, so you can go on there and you can see your respective district, and I'll also break down the demographics of your district. This is a solid website, man.
What's the website again?
A-Plus Education Partnership is the name. I just Googled the name. I found it right away. A-Plus as in the symbol plus, the plus sign. A-Plus Education Partnership, and bam, it's right up there at the top of their main page. So, yeah, I got a call on the line. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. Are you stuck on the road again, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Over by Athens. 65 bridge is a mess right now.
Oh,
on
Lord.
Imagine
We got about a couple minutes here. Jeff, what's on your mind, bud?
Hey, you know, this is what we was talking about here a while back. You know, money with the student. And, you know, I wish it would go even further. I wish it would, you know, you don't get a dime for school, for the teachers' retirements, or anything. It all should be generated from how many students you have, and how and you know that way it would give everybody a fair chance to succeed in this. And private schools would probably shut down the public schools before it's over with.
Well, they do have a formula, by the way. The formula has to be they do annual funding. I believe it's based upon the enrollment right after Labor Day. So they give them a couple weeks to get enrollment normalized for the year, and then they do have to support their funding requests with enrollment numbers. And when you start seeing people move, that's what they're scared about. That's what they're terrified, Jeff, that people are going to move to a better school and leave them with not enough money because, you know, they got fewer students. But if you got fewer students, you don't need it, right?
Exactly. I mean, how much does Alabama spend on teachers' retirement funds?
Oh, I have no idea. But, I mean, I'll tell you what, one of the things that people don't realize is the RSA, the Retirement Systems of Alabama for teachers. The RSA literally has a mandatory 8% annual return. Mandatory, meaning if they don't make it, which they often don't, then the legislature has to plus up the difference. So we've been putting $900 million to $1 billion in for I can't tell you how long, every year, just to prop it up.
Well, in Indiana, I guess they use the lottery system to kind of offset some of this stuff. So, I mean, it's a huge amount of money.
It is.
And
the question becomes, each state looks at it and goes, okay, how do we justify lottery? What are we going to do with it? And in Georgia, the scholarship thing had – is that music playing already, Boomer? All right, Jeff, be careful on the road, brother. We're going to a break, apparently. Like the pastor heard his music playing. Right. He knows his sermon is over. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming back in a minute with Scott Buttram, editor, Trustful Tribune. We'll talk. Be right back.